to davidicke.com, and if you have a chance, don't miss David. He's coming to the U.S. to make several stops. It's a life-changing, unforgettable experience, and he's been at it so long. He has so much information, and I can see how an all-day event would literally have people walking out, different people. Here's something, David, that I found. You mentioned Dr. Day and Orwell talking about things that were off in the future. This, I found this years and years ago, and I have kept it ever since. It's fascinating. It's called Jules Verne's Dark Vision of Modern Life. You may not know about this, but it's fascinating. Let me read just a little bit of this, if I might. This is 1835, and this was written, was 1863. What happened was a manuscript that was written by Jules Verne was rejected by his publisher, and it ended up being stuck in a safe, all right? And it was found in 1994 and was ultimately published. When it was written, Jules Verne was only 35 years of age, with one highly acclaimed book to his credit. When he began writing, and the book was called Paris in the 20th Century, by hand, no typewriters yet, his pages were illuminated by a small gas lamp as he worked away. Electric lights still 15 years off in the future. Now get this one. The book's protagonist is named Michel Dufresnoy. He lived nearly a century into the future in this particular book. This is a future vision book that he's writing. The year was 1960. And as Verne wrote it, technology and automation had supplanted the culture of the 1800s. Elevators whisked people up and down buildings. Now remember, this is 1865, he's writing this. Elevators took people up and down tall buildings. Trains took them back and forth from the suburbs. Images, he called them facsimiles, this is 1865, could be sent thousands of miles away by what he called photographic telegraph. He predicted fax, something we might today not bat an eye over. Neon lights, unknown in 1863, illuminated Verne's avenues in Paris. Concerts were performed in 10,000-seat auditoriums by single artists using electric amplifiers. And of the, this is a quote now, of the innumerable cars that passed on the paved roads, most moved without horses. And he wrote this 25 years before the first prototype automobile ever appeared. He said they were propelled by an invisible force, the force of 20 or 30 horses by means of a motor run by gas combustion. Verne's heroes, however, and this is the dark side, quote, no longer stood in admiration of these marvels, end quote. He went on to say they just quietly took advantage of them without being any happier because of their speeded pace and their American passion. One could feel the devil of money pushing them forward nonstop and without mercy. Jules Verne, 1863.
Well, that was spot on, wasn't it? It's amazing how many examples come up of how the future is predicted and how different people access that future, you know, maybe different, but one key way is that that future is projected by this hidden force. And the thing that much of the alternative media is going to have to face, so a lot of it already does, is that there's a question here, which I asked 20-odd years ago. When you look at how this this transformation of the world is unfolded step by step, and how people have been born, served this agenda, died, then other people have come in and served this agenda and died, and they were never going to see this this thing reach its fruition. So why would they do it? And why would they do it generation after generation? There has to be a common theme, a common force, which spans all these generations that have incessantly has pushed this agenda on, no matter who's been in the White House, who's been in Downing Street, who's right. been the CEO, or whatever. There's this, and there's a force in the background. And, you know, when you look at ancient accounts and the accounts of ancient cultures and the oral and other history that has passed through to present time across the great spectrum of different peoples, there is a common theme. Christians call it demons. Islam calls them jinn. Gnostics call them archons. The Zulus call them Chitahuri, but the big penny drop is that they are talking about the same force. It's a force in the hidden, which is manipulating human society. And these people who are serving this agenda, generation after generation, pushing it on, that which knows what the future is designed to be long before that future unfolds, they are just vehicles for this force to impose that future step by step. Mm-hmm. And if you are part of that network, or you can tap into it in some way, then you can predict the future, because you are simply saying what the plan is. And like we said at the start, unless there's an intervention, that plan will happen. And so it's this force which even much of the mainstream, the alternative media, will not look at, because it is closed to anything beyond human, much as the mainstream is. I mean, you know, I've been ridiculed and dismissed for what I'm saying in these deeper levels of
oh, have you ever
by the alternative media as much as I have by the
yes.
by the mainstream, because that too is in a mind prison. It's a perception prison, and it needs to open its mind up, if we're going to really understand what's going on, to the fact there is a common force that spans these different people coming in and out, serving this agenda. What is that force? Because clearly it exists.
We need to talk a little bit about the alternative media. Certainly the hope for the future in many ways, but unfortunately long since targeted, co-opted, penetrated, influenced, and outright controlled by the very same people who run the so-called mainstream media. The alternative media has been compromised. You folks, all of you, need to carefully pick your way through it. There are so many assets and agents, and the government, whatever that is, put so much money into it now. Shills, thousands of people work the internet just to cause arguments on forums and commentaries. They're phony journalists, phony truth tellers, phony programs. It's sad. It's very sad. Ultimately, there are also people who are just in it for ego. That's another problem. So with the blessings of the alternative media also conferred upon all of you, all of us who use it, is a responsibility to try to look between the lines the best you can, not to emotionally run after a clever headline and a cleverly written story, which is full of bogus material, which happens all the time. It's a real challenge to use the alternative media. It's the Wild West all over again.
Well, one of the things I would say, Jeff, picking that up, is if people see a headline which grabs them and they press on it, thus adding to the income of that site. And when they get through to the story on the site, there is nothing in the text to support the headline. They should never go to that website again.
Yes.
Because that is an insult and a disgrace to what the alternative media stands for. And there's so much of it going on. They call it clickbait, don't they?
Yeah.
There's so much of it going on. And another thing that I'm looking at in a and shaking my head, is how parts of the alternative media who have talked about the fact that the political system is rigged and it doesn't matter who you vote for, the hidden hand gets in, who now are back in the political system, battling to get one candidate elected, and how... Trump started talking about Muslims and the dangers of Muslims and all that stuff, I'm seeing that when there is a terrorist attack of some kind in, say, Europe or somewhere, then the what happened before is that people would take apart the official story and show that actually it doesn't add up. But what I'm seeing now in parts of the alternative media is that stopped, and a terrorist attack is now used as a means of making people kind of demonize
it's
Muslims.
Instant, it's instantly embraced. It becomes, these attacks become memes. Absolutely correct in that regard. No one is taking things apart much anymore. There are exceptions, like the work on Sandy Hook. There's some fabulous work done on Sandy Hook, one of these big events. There are big events all the time. But no one is given the chance, or really very few people want to dig in anymore. This, the pace, it's all about pace, David, as you know. It's keeping people looped from one thing to the next, to the next, the next new headline, the next new event, the next thing. And those, the pace keeps you well within the parameters, because you are so consumed with trying to process and inculcate truth and reality into the material you're getting that you don't have much time to be proactive anymore. It's tough. It's tough for people.
Yeah, I do understand that. But you know, when you understand that these events are created to provide an excuse, or to provide a way of demonizing people, or to provide an excuse for doing something that without the event you couldn't justify. I'm not saying that, you know, everyone can investigate every single thing that's happening, that so much is happening in detail, but to put aside the fact that problem reaction solution is a fundamental part of the way we're manipulated, and just almost accept the official story because your idea is to demonize Muslims. That is for me very sad and not acceptable, because what's happening here, and you know, the greatest form of human manipulation is the manipulation of emotion. Is that we're having a whole people demonized for the acts of a few. There was a reporter, Saeed Ramsey, in Europe, reported for a French TV channel, who infiltrated one of these terrorist cells in Europe. And what he said he found is that it was nothing to do with Islam. He said he called them fast food jihadists. He said the big lesson I saw was that there wasn't any Islam in this affair at all. There was no will to improve the world. They were only lost, frustrated, suicidal, and easy manipulated.
Oh, no, it's all secular.
So it's, you know...
And who's running it? We know who's running it.
We know who's running it. And therefore, the alternative media's job is to point this out, not to use the official story to push a political agenda, which is fundamentally anti-Muslim, and at the same time doesn't question the even more fundamental involvement in all this of Zionism.
No, they don't. Zionism, that needs to be looked at by everyone. Very important player. Been around, 100, 130, 40 years. I guess it started around the 1880s. Came into fruition shortly after the turn of the century. You saw it, I guess, pretty much with the Bolsheviks. They were imported into Russia by the banking cartel, pretty much. The Russian Revolution. Major event. Then look at Zionism there. All right, go back into that.
Yeah, but I hear people, some people in the alternative media saying, well, there's no evidence that there's Zionism is fundamentally involved in this. I mean, what? There's no evidence that it's not. I mean, crikey, the evidence is unbelievable. And, you know, I was looking at something a few days ago. There was was described as an Israeli strategist who was laying out...
There's a mouthful.
What Israel needed to do 30 years ago, mm-hmm. what Israel needed to do for its own benefit in the Middle East. And it was basically the history of the Middle East of the last 30 years that has followed.
Yeah.
So, you know, all these things are part of what the alternative media should be looking at, but parts of it don't. They won't go there.
It's too accessible, David, to too many people who can literally just start. I think every other person on the planet will end up having their own talk program pretty soon. It's crazy. It's the access of it, the wonder of the access of the alternative media and the internet is also its curse. It is so easily corrupted and perverted by people who really shouldn't be in a position of trying to instruct or offer information to the masses. They just don't have the credentials.
Yeah, but and this is, the same as the mainstream media.
Same
you know,
thing.
We say you know, you don't believe what you believe in what you see in the mainstream media and question everything. People must question everything in the alternative media as well.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
Because, like I say, it's not just one thing. It's this vast spectrum which goes under the heading of alternative media, and mm-hmm. and it's done a fantastic job. I mean, you know, we wouldn't be where we are.
Where would we be without it? Yes. Amen.
Exactly.
Sure.
But we just got to understand that actually, just because it's called alternative media, doesn't mean it's always telling the truth. Doesn't mean it doesn't have its own agenda, political or otherwise. And so everything must be questioned. What I say should be questioned and researched, and let people come to their own conclusions. But and not just accept things on face value just because someone said it, whatever the label they give themselves.
Yeah, this whole issue of a golden opportunity to use the internet for reality. I don't like to use the word truth much anymore. Reality is also, again, and I said this earlier, tied into conferring upon all those who enter the world, the domain of the alternative media, a responsibility to themselves and those they care about to do their due diligence and their research and not grab a headline, as David said, and run with it. They've got to read stories. They've got to learn to recognize sources. It's like reading the food label on a product you're going to buy. It's the same thing. You've got to determine if it's toxic for you, if there are chemicals in it, mental chemicals and mental corruption. It's a consumable good, the alternative media, just like food in a store.
Yeah, and this is important because, of course, these clickbait websites that produce outrageous headlines with no text to support them are a great means of discrediting the serious alternative media that is doing its
absolutely
research.
Yeah. When you go to a site and you see, excuse me, David, but I got to put this in. When you go to a site and you see a pop-up ad that comes up 15 seconds after you've tried to start reading something and the pop-up ad covers two-thirds of it, sometimes the entire site page. You know, that's a site you want to stay away from, as David said earlier. This is clickbait. It's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and you know, it's important that people do question everything that they see and get streetwise on it, because you know it's like I was saying earlier, you want, when you are seeking to program perception, you want control of the information that people receive. And so are they going to let the alternative media just go about its business unchallenged? Of course not. They're going to infiltrate it. They're going to put ludicrous sites up which discredit the alternative media. And they are, without question, especially if Clinton gets in, they are going to start trying to legislate against it. I mean,
we're in serious trouble. Yeah.
They've just come up with this this phrase alt-right, which again is something they want to paint the whole alternative media with. So you can see the pieces being moved into place for that, not least because, you know, they do want a World War III. They do want to pitch the West against Russia and China. The pieces of that, I mean, I was writing about that a long time ago, that was the plan, to pitch the West against Russia, China, and the pieces are being moved into place with that. And, you know, if we had the alternative media that we have now in its scale, when they were running up to the invasion of Iraq, they would have found it even more difficult to justify that, because more and more people now are looking at the alternative media than were then, and would have been reading about the fact that this weapons of mass destruction was clearly a nonsensical excuse. And by the way, something I've been pointing out to the mainstream media in Australia, which I got on a lot for the first time, that the same people that told us there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq were the same people that gave us the official story of 9/11. It was hilarious to see their faces when I pointed that out. You could see their face go, you know, that's right, isn't it? Because we have this journalistic schizophrenia that you accept you were lied to in over Iraq. But you can't investigate 9/11 because they told us the truth. I mean, it's just nonsense. The same people. So if you have the alternative media, expanding in terms of audience, when they're trying to sell this Third World War, which they are moving the pieces into place, like I say, and they'll be pushing that more and more once Clinton got in the White House. You don't want the alternative media taken seriously and have free rein to say what it wants, because that's going to make it far, far more difficult for you to sell the idea that a war with Russia, China is random and has come about as a result of random events and decisions, when it's actually been planned for centuries.
This is actually playing out every bit as deliberate as World War I, World War II. I can only hope that somehow Russia can withstand the constant provoking that they're being abused with. They are just being bashed constantly by this Western Zionist media machine. It won't quit.
Yeah, well, the demonization of Russia is laughable. And you know, when I was in Australia, whole South China Sea situation with China was kicking off, and of course the Ukraine was opening a front against Russia. You've got all this build up of NATO and along the Russian borders. You've got now the German government talking about preparation for war and
10 days food and water.
Yeah, you can see it all moving into place, and then of course you've got this powder keg in Syria with Turkey now in there. It's actually invading Syria. That's what they've done. I mean, we're going after ISIS. Well, if you want to go after ISIS, you know, you need Pennsylvania Avenue, and
stop
Russia
selling their damn oil too. That's another.
I mean, that's a powder keg. It could kick off any time. So the pieces are being moved into place. And what we need to get across to people is that this is not happening by random accident and a series of random events. This has been planned way, way back. Into the 19th century, that there were going to be three wars, and they're unfolding. And the more we can get information out to people to point out that this is long planned, the harder it is to sell it. And you know, we are making progress. I mean, we've just had this extraordinary result in Britain, where the entire political spectrum was warning people and trying to frighten people into staying in the EU, and the people, a majority of the people, said we're out. They did. There are things now happening where you can see that people are not as malleable and just being told what to do in the way that they have been up to this point. So we're really at a cusp. This next 3 years is going to decide a great deal.
Still in awe that the British got away with it. Everything was allied against them. to stop the leave vote from succeeding. It did, and I think it actually passed by a much higher margin than was admitted in the press over there. That's my guess. They tried to keep it close so they could flip it the other way, but it was just too strong to leave. Now, the other thing I want to mention, in St. Petersburg, Russia, there was a conference recently, international multi-country conference. Vladimir Putin was there, and at the end of the conference, he got the Western media together and sat down with them. And he said, and he, you know, he's a very calm man. He doesn't express emotion or emote very often or very much. He got frustrated totally. He looked at those people, those journalists, and said, "What is wrong with you people? What does it take to get you to wake up to see what is being done right in front of your noses?" I'm paraphrasing. But as you said, the pieces on the chessboard are being set. And that's what he was saying. We are being dragged toward war. Why don't you people report that?
Yeah, well, I saw that that video. And, you know, we have now reached the point where people like him are talking about the fact that this Third World War is the pieces are being moved into place. And it's blatant to anyone that's looking on.
It's disgusting.
You have journalists. I mean, you know, you don't have to have an intelligence test to be a journalist. In fact, it could be a very bad career move. and also there is... In the moment, self-preservation. So, you know, some people might be able to see it, but how do they get it in the paper if they write it? What happens to their career if they write actually what's really going on? And this is where, you know, journalists need to realize that, you know, this is not something that they're isolated from. Where this world is going and the control that's being imposed is designed for them as well. I mean, they're working in a fundamentally controlled system as it is. But what we're seeing now are moves to increase that and to suppress it even more. I was talking to a former journalist a few days ago, former investigative journalist on the News of the World, which is the paper that collapsed, the Murdoch paper, in the wake of phone hacking scandals, where they were hacking the phones of famous people and then printing the stories of based on what they heard. And of course there was a big trial eventually, and the paper shut down, and it was a massive scandal and attack on the mainstream media in Britain. But what this lady told me, and she was absolutely where she needed to be to know this was true, is that what really happened was that British intelligence sent someone in to the News of the World and one or two other papers as well to actually set up the phone hacking situation, which could then be exposed and as she put it, not just destroy a newspaper, but the frighteners on investigative journalism in Britain as a whole. The story she told me certainly made sense, that the person that was sent in operated for with what she called a black bag company that is the arm's length representative of the British intelligence network, but he's not officially employed by it, thus there's plausible deniability. But actually, these what she called black bag companies operate for British intelligence and carry out stings and hacking of various kinds for them. And that this one person, who she named to me, went in to the News of the World and one or two other papers, like I say, and set up the phone hacking. And got completely away with it because it never appeared in court. And that kind of made sense. So what I'm saying is that, you know, journalists need to understand that they're in the gun sight as well. If they think they're controlled now, well, you know, hang around because there's nothing like where they where it's planned to go. And they have families and they have children that are going to have to live in the world that these people want to introduce. So it's basically time to have some bloody backbone and start standing up for what is true rather than just writing propaganda every day. What's the point in that except to get the paycheck and look your children in the eyes and tell them that you can justify that to them?
Writing propaganda every day, reading press releases, kissing political fannies, it's really not a pretty sight. And if they step out of line, there are, as you know, you've been in the business for a long time, there are 10,000 people for every job. There are people who will do anything. They will sell their soul, sell their grandmother. It doesn't matter. Just to get on TV, get in the radio, get in the media. They want it. It's the shortcut to celebrity. It used to be 75 years ago, people wanted to be motion picture stars. They found out that that was closed to them because it's a closed elite club. Now, and they found out that the alternative media is wide open. I can be a star. And that's propelling an awful lot of them. And that's dangerous for all of us. So the media is not the media anymore. The media in America, as you well know, David, is really the fourth branch of government. It's the Ministry of Information and Mind Control and Propaganda and Social and Cultural Engineering and all the rest of it. And then you mentioned DARPA. Good grief, it doesn't get any darker than that. At least I hope not. There you go.
Yeah, and how many people, know in America the true nature of DARPA? How many
people know
how fundamentally it's connected to Google, which explains why the director of DARPA moved Regina Duggan, moved from director of DARPA to a Google executive.
Yep.
This explains why Ray Kurzweil, the big promoter of transhumanism, the spokesman for Frankenstein, is a Google executive. These are things that any media or journalists worth the name would have been pointing out, because it's fundamental to understand these connections. I mean, Google is an absolute monster, just like Facebook and all these internet giants that are merely the internet outgrowth from the mainstream media of newspapers, radio, and television that we had before, controlled again by the same networks. And, as newspapers fall in terms of their circulations and will eventually go out of business in the face of the electronic media, well, nothing changes, because the electronic media is controlled ultimately by the same networks that have controlled the newspapers, etc., up to this point. This former investigative journalist on the News of the World was telling me how that was structured, and how the paper she worked on was structured in this compartmentalized way. Mm-hmm. But basically, the journalists have no idea where the line of the newspaper is coming from, where the decisions of what they will report and what they won't report and how they will report it are actually coming from, because they only know the next level up. They don't know where it's really coming from.
Well, it's the same thing as a teller in a bank, the person at the window that takes your check and gives you cash. They don't know what the managers know. The managers don't know what the district managers understand, the corporation execs. And most of them don't even know about the Federal Reserve. They never even heard about it. Now, maybe they've heard about it, but they don't understand any of it. Here's another thing. You mentioned Google. Now, this is really critical. Google, I've been saying for a long time, Google is God, lowercase. Google is God. Google is such an enormous monstrosity on the planet. It is so evil. Just so you know, ladies and gentlemen, Google workers had 427 meetings at the White House over the course of Obama's 7.5 years in office, averaging more than one a week. Why? Ask yourself, why 427 meetings at the White House? What's going on with Google? There you go.
Something similar, not that many, but something similar happens with the British government as well. And what Google have done is change the name of much of their company to Alphabet to hide the extent of Google, because Google is such a buzzword in people's minds and so well known that when you see Google everywhere, I mean, what's Google doing in robotics? What's Google doing in transhumanist technology?
Genetics, all of it.
They changed the name into Alphabet, so that Alphabet is such a terrible name, but it's a name you can easily forget, and it's not a buzzword like Google. So they're just hiding the extent of what that Google giant monster is actually doing. And this is all fundamental. This DARPA Google connection is fundamental to what we were talking about earlier about this transhumanist agenda, because, you know, Kurzweil is talking about having people connected to their minds connected to the cloud, as he calls it, by 2030. And you know, I've got a new book out called Phantom Self, which refers to the fake self-identity. We are awareness. We are the state of being aware. We are infinite awareness. That's what we are. Everything else is detail. But phantom self is the self-identity with your name, your race, your income bracket, your country, your religion, whatever, which basically is the conscious mind perception of self-identity, and that focus of attention on what I call phantom self, self-identity. I am my name. I am my race, and all that stuff. Disconnects us, that focus, from the greater, an influence of the greater consciousness beyond this program reality. But what I'm, there's a chapter in the book, and I call it transphantomism. And I call it that because it's taking this disconnection from conscious mind, self-identity, disconnection from between that and expanded awareness to a whole new level by connecting the conscious mind and what we call the human level, if you like, by connecting it to this this technological sub-reality that they're creating, which Kurzweil calls the cloud. The idea of transhumanism is to connect people technologically to this cloud. So the cloud does their thinking for them. So they get everything from the cloud. AI, artificial intelligence, running this whole technological grid, this cloud, becomes basically the mind that is dictating the perceptions of the population. So the idea is that people become nothing more than a biological computer terminal on this cloud, which the internet is fundamentally a part, of course. Mm-hmm. And it's unfolding all the time. And they're telling us, I mean, it's not that they're hiding it anymore. No. People like Kurzweil are telling us, and they're telling us on the basis of the sales pitch, which is, by doing this, we'll become superhuman. But we won't. We'll become subhuman. That's the whole idea. And what they're doing is they're taking us, you know, here, kitty-kitty, along this road where they start out with what you might call holdables, the smartphones and the tablets. They move on then to what they call wearables. These are the smart watches and the Google Glass and the Bluetooth. And now they're moving into what they call implantables, more and more and more. They're getting inside the body. Uh-huh. And the idea is to use that implanted technology, which people accept willingly because it makes me superhuman, to connect them to this technological sub-reality run by artificial intelligence. That's where this is going. That's what transhumanism is all about. Part of this,
they're taking away their humanity, David.
Exactly.
They're taking what's left.
It's part of this whole agenda is to create the synthetic human, which has does not procreate. That's done again technologically in laboratory means, exactly what Aldous Huxley predicted in Brave New World. This is why they are having these great studies to create a synthetic human. This is where a lot of this, and even the end of sex is where they want to go. So we're seeing the move in front of our eyes day after day. Oh, here's the latest technology and everyone wants one. Let's queue in the middle of the night to be the first to get the next level of control. We're seeing in front of our eyes the destruction and the disappearance of everything that we've accepted to be human up to this point. So there is no human left. That's the idea.
That's where they're taking us. Yeah.
It's this force in the background that we talked about earlier that so much of the alternative media just dismisses and don't want to talk about. It's this force that's behind it. What we see, the people we see who are doing it, are merely the vehicles for this force. And we need to understand very, very urgently what's going on here, because we're being taken along this road, and so many people are walking along it. I mean, you know, the addiction to this technology is so fantastic.
It is.
For me, there's something coming off it. There's something coming off it in terms of some kind of artificial intelligence, whatever you want to call it. There's something coming off it that is making this addiction even more fierce and extreme than it would otherwise be.
It's an addiction to, it's a dehumanizing addiction that is bizarre to watch, because the sheep don't get it. And there's some smart sheep out there. They still don't get it. They think this technology is going to make them, as you said, superhuman. No, it's going to make them subhuman. It's gone.
Exactly. We're being led along this road. And, you know, if you're in any way awake, it's an open book. But if you're not, if you are addicted to the phone, and of course, what generation is addicted to phones more than any other is the younger generations, of course, who are being brought up from birth now. I mean, you see grotesque sights like I saw recently in a restaurant where the parents are having their meal. And this baby in a high chair playing with a smartphone.
No.
It's a baby. Extraordinary.
Yeah, shame on those parents. Oh, they'll never get it.
But that's where we go. This is the most important thing for people to understand at the moment, and is this transhumanist agenda for connecting us to a technological reality that will do our thinking for us. And it's not just me saying that. Kurzweil saying that. Mm-hmm. Kurzweil saying that what will happen is that we'll be connected to this, what he calls this cloud, and then gradually the cloud will do more and more of our thinking until there's no human left. Saying that.
Yes, yes. AI will be your friend. AI will bury you. That's what
will
happen.
This is the question. This is the question that I ask in these talks and put forward some answers to it. What is AI? This is the question. I don't hear this being asked. What is AI? It's this buzz phrase, artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. Artificial intelligence will run fighter planes, will run the internet, will run this, will
make your hamburgers for you.
Yeah, exactly. Robots. So then we ask the question, what is this artificial intelligence? Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what my answer is. This artificial intelligence is basically that which has been manipulating this world from the hidden for so long. It's a technological vehicle which humans are being manipulated to create the smart grid and the smart technology and the based on Wi-Fi, the cloud. Mm-hmm. It's a vehicle that's being created for this hidden force, which has been given the name in this context, artificial intelligence, to take the frickin' world over. And by connecting humanity to the cloud, taking every human mind over. That is what's happening. And much of the alternative media even doesn't want to go there. This is what's happening, and we need to understand it.
What a critically important thing, and I hope all of you will remember that as you make your way along. It is being pushed at us around the clock in ways that we're not even, I don't even see. These people have planned this for so long, and they're so damn clever about it. And there are, of course, EMF issues, embedded frequencies in every kind of electronic medium that can be used. I believe personally that the electric grid, David, is being used as a vehicle to put frequencies that will influence the masses. We're surrounded by wiring in our homes. We know that the electric grid can carry television, radio, cable TV, but it's not because those industries are separate. But the electric grid is not being discussed. And I tell this quick story. a friend of mine, Dr. Pat Flanagan, you know Pat, know of
him. Yep.
He went over to a friend's house. He walked into the garage. The guy was a kind of a garage genius, and he had a scope on, and there was a particular wave on this oscilloscope, and Pat recognized it immediately as the lily wave. And he said, "What are you doing with the lily wave? You know, what kind of work are you doing?" And the guy turned and looked at him, and he was kind of shocked, according to what Pat said. And he says, "You'll never guess where that's coming from." And Pat said, "Where?" And he pointed to the wall plug. He said, "It's in the electric grid, and it didn't just get there by itself."
This is precisely what's happening. Whether it's that, or whether it is the astonishing increase in atmospheric technologically generated radiation, whether it's this smart technology, whether it's the Wi-Fi cloud, which of course they're putting satellites up now to make sure there's no area of the Earth that's not covered by Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi of the world.
Yeah, and this is not so that everyone, even in the desert, can be on the grid, on the web. It's because the cloud is the technological sub-reality in all its various forms, including the electrical grid. And therefore, they need to make sure no one can escape anywhere from the cloud, which
nowhere
they are
to hide.
Designed to be connected to. This is what's happening. We're seeing a whole sub-reality being created, which humanity is planned to be tapped into, and therefore the ability to expand your awareness beyond that cloud will then be closing in on near impossible. That's the idea. That is what's happening in front of our eyes all the time as this technological society goes on moving. And if you've got to connect the dots. You've got to connect the dots with it, and then you see the picture. If you just see it in isolation, it's just this technological madness or addiction to smartphones. Oh, that's not good. And do you know all these studies that show that this technological these technological smart sources are rewiring the brain so that they have a lower attention span, etc. Oh, that's not very good, is it? Well, connect all the dots. Connect what Kurzweil is saying. Connect all the dots, and you see what's happening. And that is what I've just described.
Well, summed up remarkably, the cloud. It sounds like a sci-fi movie plot. The cloud takes over human consciousness, takes over humanity, takes over the planet. We're run by the cloud. After 75% of the world population is destroyed in the coming World War III, the cloud.
Something else that Kurzweil says is nanobots, these nanotechnologies, also known as smart dust and many other names. Nanobots will infuse all matter around us with information. Rocks, trees, everything will become these intelligent creatures. In other words, they'll become this part of this whole control system, this whole sub-reality. So how are they infusing everything, rocks, trees, everything, as he says, with these nanobots, with this nanotechnology? Well, one of the ways they're doing it is chemtrails. That's one of the things that's coming out of chemtrails, is nanotechnology on a vast scale, and in other ways too. All this nanotechnology in food and everything, it's just passing it out and putting it in human bodies and putting it in the environment to as part of this whole new technological what they want to be eventually, a synthetic world full of synthetic people connected to a technological control system.
Yeah.
That's where we're going. And you know, they're not talking about, you know, 100 years from now. Kurzweil is talking about this basically being in place, or at least the start of it, by 2030.
They're in a hurry. They're in a hurry,
Jeff, for the reason we talked about earlier. They know humanity is awakening to a more expanded view of everything. Mm-hmm. And although this technological control system has been planned all along, by this force outside the human realm. The desperation and the speed that they want to push it in is motivated by knowing that there is a limit on how long they can not get this control before humanity is awakened enough to see the game in right. enough numbers to make a difference. So this next period, this next 3 years will be very, very important, but the next 10 years will be extremely important to where this world goes.
It will tell the tale. It will tell the tale. David Icke, September the 10th, New York, in Grand Prospect Hall. September 17th, in Los Angeles, Irvine Marriott. September 24th, in San Francisco, Crane Way Pavilion. Have a great tour, David. I hope it's a sellout. I'm sure it will be. It's really good to get caught up with you, as always.
Yeah, it's been good, Jeff. Thanks very much.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Good night. David Icke, Worldwide Wake Up Tour, heading for America. Once again, New York, September 10, LA, September 17, San Francisco, September 24th. All right, that's our program tonight. Lots to think about, and we will be back with you tomorrow. Have a good night and a good day tomorrow.